Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Welcome to Orphans No More. I am your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us for episode number 250. Welcome to December. We're already 1 week in. If you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, when I look at Isaiah 9:6, I think, well, I could use a counselor right about now and some might. I want my daddy and I need some peace. What about you, my friend? Today's episode is the second in our Advent series, and today we're focusing on peace. But first, let's just check in for a sec. How are you doing? How are your kids doing? I know the holiday season can be especially difficult for our kids with trauma histories. Our children who joined our family through foster care or adoption, they have a history before they came to us. Some have Christmas memories that do not include us. Some maybe good memories, but probably some bad or at least sad. There's a good chance you may be experiencing some chaos in your home as memories and past traumas trigger difficult behaviors in our kids this time of year. One of my kids in particular, she's an adult now, but experienced painful losses in childhood. Her mom became sick and was diagnosed with cancer around Christmas. I think our daughter was around 4 or 5 years old at that time. And the following November, her mom passed away. So for years and into adulthood, our daughter struggled from November into January every single year. It was cyclical. It became predictable. It's still painful for her, but now as an adult, she navigates it in a more healthy way, but it's still hard. And triggers and behaviors are to be expected, especially this time of year. And this crazy COVID Christmas of 2020 might be extra challenging for our children and for us as parents, right? So that's one of the things I want to focus on. But first, I'll mention a couple resources to help you through this season or even any time of the year, really. But my friend, fellow adoptive mom and author Kathleen Guire, she has been on our show before. She's a podcaster. She's written several books. She has training modules that she records that are available online. Well, she's written two books that I want to mention that can be very helpful, especially this time of year. You can find them on Amazon or wherever you like to buy your books. The first one is 25 Days of Thriving Through Christmas. It's an Advent devotional for foster and adoptive parents. It's a small book, but you will treasure it. I treasure mine. Mine's dog-eared and has coffee stains on it because I would do it every morning throughout the month of December. Just read a little bit of it, and it was very encouraging and just was a great tool to help me through this time of year. The second one is her book entitled How to Have Peace When Your Kids Are in Chaos for Foster and Adoptive Parents. It is a great book and a great resource to keep on your shelf and pull it off when you need it. It's a pretty pink book, but it's packed with great stuff in it. So I recommend those two resources if you can get your hands on them right now or as soon as you can get your hands on them. They will really be great resources to help you navigate through. So in addition to this podcast, which we love that you're listening to, there are others you can utilize to help you experience hope, peace, joy, and love again, throughout this crazy COVID Christmas season, or any day throughout the year, really, that you need it. So Kathleen's, Kathleen Guire, who I just mentioned, her podcast is called Positive Adoption. There's also FASD Hope with Natalie Vecchione and FASD Success with Jeff Noble. Both those folks have been guests on this podcast before. They are FASD focused, and because so many kids in foster care and who have been adopted have FASD or have an FASD, those are excellent resources for us parents. In addition to another one of my favorites, the Empowered Parent Podcast with Ryan and Kayla North. Just these are podcasts that pour into me all throughout the year. Listen to them. And listen to this one. Keep listening. While you're wrapping Christmas presents, baking, decorating, cleaning the house, driving the car, podcasts are great tools to help boost your parenting stamina, something we all need a little extra of this time of year. So I hope that you will check all of those out. Nobody pays me for saying that. But as a parent who values these resources and the encouragement and the support that I get through them, I want you to know about them too. Because I'm in the trenches along with you, and it's important that we are together and in the trenches together and support one another through this time. So please remember, you're always welcome. I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me. Let me know how you're doing, how your kids are doing. You can find me on social media. We have the Justice for Orphans page on both Facebook and Instagram, as well as my personal page, Sandra Flack, and our website, justicefororphansny.org. You can also email me directly. My email is Sandra Flack, with F-L-A-C-H there, Sandra Flack, J-F-O, at gmail.com. So each week, I have been sharing a few of the FASD facts from the FAFASD.org website, and I'm going to share two more toward the end of this episode after we go through our Advent content. So if you've been tuning in to catch those, stay with me. I'm going to be sharing them at the end. We're going to get there. But as I mentioned, throughout December 2020, I'm bringing you this four-part series inspired by the season of Advent. Advent means the arrival. Now, we're all anxious to say goodbye to 2020 and await the arrival of 2021 in hopes it will be a better year, right? We long for hope, peace, joy, and love, all of which flow from our relationship with Christ. And as we focus on peace this week, I want to begin by reading to you from the book of Luke, chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 26 through 38. I'm just going to find it here. I have it on my handy dandy phone to pull up. So again, I'm going to start off with Luke 1, 26 through 38, and this is where the angel Gabriel visits a lowly teenage girl named Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So, whoa, we see at first this news about this unexpected pregnancy confused and disturbed Mary, but she received it with grace. And the very next thing Mary does is she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also unexpectedly pregnant. And I love the fact that Elizabeth's greeting when Mary arrived is a prophetic message. So I want to share that with you as well. So I'm still in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to pick up in verse 39 and read through 45. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Now, the thing that we need to catch here is Elizabeth didn't know in the natural that Mary was expecting. Mary had just gotten this news from the angel, and it wasn't like the first thing Mary uttered to Elizabeth when she walked through the door was that she was expecting, even though she wasn't married. But God gave Elizabeth that word of knowledge, and Elizabeth, the baby within Elizabeth, who we know now is John the Baptist, rejoiced at the sound of Mary's voice. And Elizabeth says, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. So how does Mary respond to all this? I mean, this news about the unplanned pregnancy would cause a teenage girl to maybe be a little stressed out, to be worried, to be anxious. Her whole world was about to be turned upside down. Nothing would be the same again. Did she wonder what Joseph, her fiancé, would do? Not to mention that whole unusual Holy Spirit will come upon you and your baby will be the son of the Most High God business. You know, it is. It would be stressful and concerning, but how did Mary respond? Well, we know at first she was concerned with what the angel said to her, but her answer to Elizabeth, which I'm going to pick up with in verse 46 and read to 51. This was Mary's response. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. So Mary humbly acknowledges she's a lowly servant girl, and she responds by focusing on the goodness of God. She gives him praise, she gives him glory, and she points out his goodness. In this extremely stressful time in Mary's life, she's filled with the Christ child, right? She's literally filled with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's how she's able to respond with worship, with praise. She's not saying, oh, what am I going to do? How is this going to turn out? I don't know what to do. She's not saying any of those things. She's praising God and giving him glory and testifying to how good he is. She has Christ in her, the hope of glory, literally in her, and he fills her with the peace, even in the midst of an unsettling situation she was in. And we can be filled with that same peace in our unsettling situations. And we've been all walking through anxious times. 2020 has turned life upside down for so many of us. And we don't know if things are ever going to go back to what we would call normal ever again. But no matter what happens in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, life or death, Jesus is our hope. And only in him will we experience peace. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have Christ in us. He is our peace. It's not the world's peace, which is based on circumstances, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So yes, even in the midst of this crazy COVID Christmas season, and no matter what 2020 leaves or 2021 brings, when we fix our eyes on Jesus and focus on his goodness, we experience true peace. We have it already. We just need to tap into it. In my family this year, I've experienced a death in my family, separation from a loved one who's in a nursing home, and mental health challenges in one of my kids. But we've also experienced the goodness of God through the birth of another grandchild, the wedding of a daughter, and good health for our family. And even our nonprofit, Justice for Orphans, had one of our busiest years serving children and families in crisis. And we expect it to get even busier because of the whole COVID thing. And even though our annual fundraiser had to pivot and become a virtual event, which was somewhat disastrous and only met 10% of our goal, overall, we still somehow miraculously, well, because God put it on the hearts of the faithful to sow into our ministry, but we met our annual budget goal. We didn't even think that would be possible. And in the midst of a year where COVID caused so many businesses and nonprofits to close, Justice for Orphans is actually doing okay. God has been faithful and present and answering prayer every step of the way, no matter what 2020 threw at us. And I'd like to share something a former guest on this podcast, another adoptive mom and author, Lucinda Seacrest McDowell. She offers some words about peace in one of her devotional books. And this one I just started. It's called Dwelling Places, Words to Live in Every Season. So I want to share her what she wrote. She has a couple little pages here on peace, and it's dated number 22 in her words of hope, and it's peace. I'm going to read this to you. She opens with this scripture: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I give to you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid." And that's from John 14, verse 27. And Lucinda writes, "Are you tired of hearing news reports of violence around the world, juxtaposed with carols that sweetly echo the words, 'Sleep in heavenly peace'? Are you ever tempted to respond with 'Bah humbug' when someone cheerily wishes you a happy holiday?" About 100 years ago, Henry was also despondent on Christmas Day. His wife, Frances, had just been killed in an accidental fire. His son, Charles, had joined the army without his father's blessing and now was severely wounded on the field. And to top it all, with the Civil War raging, no one felt much like celebrating Christmas. Henry wrote down these struggles, quote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." End quote. How can we find peace when there is only turmoil, both outward and within? By turning to the source of all peace, Jesus, known as the Prince of Peace. His parting words to his disciples in today's verse offered the gift of a different kind of peace than the world gives. In the scriptures, the word peace means more than the absence of hostility or enmity. The Hebrew word translated peace is shalom, which conveys wholeness, the perfecting of all that is broken or incomplete. This kind of peace is what brings healing to our heart and soul. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. That's from Colossians 3:15. Lucinda continues, perhaps you are also struggling this Christmas, wincing when you hear bells ring and others rejoice. How can you find peace in the middle of your own storm? Well, Christ is our peace, according to Ephesians 2:14. Christ is our peace, not circumstances, not world events, not even our children's safety. Our peace comes from the one who promised peace and freely offers it to us. The question becomes, can we accept what he sends our way? Amy Carmichael's powerful words often ring in my ears, quote, in acceptance lieth peace, end quote. Well, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow came to realize this before he finished writing his Christmas Day poem. And so he concluded with renewed hope, quote, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace in our world is rare, but it is possible to discover this shalom and dwell in it. I've read the last chapter, and God is victorious. So I love those words from Lucinda Seacrest McDowell. And that, again, is another book that you could pick up wherever you like to purchase your books. So as I close out this Advent section of today's show and transition into sharing some of the FASD facts, I just want to end this part with Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I'll add, even through this crazy COVID Christmas season. So stay tuned for next week's Advent episode, which will focus on joy. And I hope that you really were ministered to by these words about peace. Okay, so now, as promised, a few more of the FASD facts. So I often talk about FASD on this show, especially lately. I think as I've gone through the past almost year with our youngest son, who's a teenager and has really been struggling, it's really become more and more evident that his struggles are very much triggered because he was exposed to alcohol in the womb, in addition to the trauma from being abandoned in an orphanage for the first 5 years of his life. But the FASD affects everything. And the more I've researched and the more I've learned, the more vital it appears to me that we all need to be having this conversation. As a mom of 8 kids, 5 through adoption, 2 are diagnosed with an FASD, and I suspect it in a couple of our other older kids. I understand the hard days of this journey, and I've learned that about 70% of children in the U.S. foster care system have been exposed to alcohol in the womb. And that's huge because there are about 400,000 children in the foster care system. So 70% is a lot of kids. And those numbers are pretty similar when it comes to children adopted internationally, or even domestic adoption can even also be impacted by an FASD. So I believe it is imperative to bring awareness to FASD. It's a hard road, but we can have peace, which was our focus for today's episode. And that is why I share other places and resources for you if you're parenting a kid with an FASD, or even if you suspect maybe my kid may have an FASD. And if you're new to this podcast, please check out some of our recent episodes to learn more about FASD. And again, I'll mention those podcasts, and I'll put in the show notes links to all of these other resources, from the podcast to the books that I mentioned. But I regularly listen to these other podcasts, so I want you to keep listening to Orphans No More, of course. We love you. But I also want to recommend, especially if you're suspecting an FASD, if you want to learn more, or if you know you are parenting a child, or if you're a caregiver of someone with an FASD, please, you really need to listen to these other podcasts as well. I listen to them. And so for the FASD specific podcasts, which means FASD is the only topic they focus on, really, there's FASD Success with Jeff Noble and FASD Hope with my friend Natalie Vecchione. Like I said, both of them have been guests on this podcast before. I'm going to be having Natalie on again. She hasn't been on. She was on a little over a year ago. I'm going to have her on again in January. I've been working to line up some great guest interviews that will come back. You know, we'll start interviewing some more guests in January, our January episodes, and into the new year will be, I have some great guests that I'm lining up. Some are going to be FASD focused, not all. It's always a topic that we touch on usually, but it's always focused on adoption, foster care, children in crisis, church orphan ministry, those kinds of things. And just wait, you know, I feel like when we're all in this together, we're all sort of on the same team and the same tribe. We love to hear those stories about other people who are in this space on the journey, just like we are. So those are the kind of folks I love to interview. And if you know of someone, or maybe you're listening and you've never been a guest on this show before, and you have a story and you want to share God's glory on how he's called you into foster care or adoption or orphan ministry, and you want to be able to share all that God has done, and tell your story, reach out, let me know, because this is a podcast that airs. We have a new episode every week. We've been doing Orphans No More. It started about 8 years ago when we were just established Justice for Orphans. Our Justice for Orphans actually is going to be 10 years old, but about the time we formally launched it as a nonprofit, we started a radio show, which, if you're a regular listener, you may know some of that story. And I'm going off a little bit on a tangent, but I got asked to be interviewed on a local, for me, local Christian talk radio station, which I was terrified to do, but I stepped out in faith and I was able to tell our adoption story. And then they had me back on the show again. And after about a month, they reached out to me, the station did, and asked if I would be interested in having my own radio show on a Christian station where I would talk about adoption and foster care and all of these things every week. And I was shocked and blown away, but recognized it as a door that God was opening. So I stepped through in faith, and I had a co-host at the time, my co-founder of JFO, Mary Slager. And we were about 7 years on that Christian radio station. And then when podcasts kind of became all the rage, we started packaging our radio episodes as podcasts. And then a couple of years ago, the radio station switched from a talk radio format to a music format. So everybody who had talk shows had to find a new home for their talk show. But we were getting such wonderful traction with our podcast because of the convenience of podcasts. You can listen at your convenience whenever, wherever. You can listen to part of a show and pick up the rest later. Our listener base really grew. And so we just decided we're going to just continue as a podcast. We don't have to buy airtime to be on the radio. So since then, that's why we're up to episode number 250, because we've just been doing this for so long. And I'm always interviewing guests, and sometimes it's an episode where it's just me pouring out a message that God has put on my heart. But we love the fact that you listen, and we want to hear from you. And we're always on the search for great interviews, folks like us who are in the trenches. So reach out for sure. So anyways, we're going to get to these FASD podcasts. See, now I've got myself confused on what I was saying, because I wasn't planning on saying any of that. Definitely was a rabbit hole. But I'm back out, and here we go. I've been sharing some of the 50 facts on each of these episodes. They are from the FASD.org website. And that stands for Families Affected by FASD. And you can find these facts yourself at FASD.org/50facts. And when you first go there, it's just a list of the 50 facts, but there's a little thing that you can click on and it opens it up and it actually comes out like 50 slides. There's a one fact per page. So I printed them all off because I'm kind of like that, because you get more of the details if you look at each of those pages. But anyway, you can check it out yourself, print it yourself. I shared them after I printed them with my husband, so he would like read through them each night before bed. But we're up to, on this show, we are up to FASD fact numbers 19 and 20. So here we go. FASD fact number 19, people with FASDs and their families need FASD-informed professionals to help them. But most professionals, meaning doctors, therapists, teachers, psychologists, social workers, and other experts, are not FASD-informed. There is a pervasive lack of knowledge of FASD throughout multiple systems. This lack of knowledge contributes to multi-system barriers, including delayed diagnoses, unavailability of services, and difficulty qualifying for, implementing, and maintaining services. So when I read that, I'm like, well, this is not good news, but if you are a parent with or a caregiver of an individual with an FASD or suspected, you probably know that that's true. And that's exactly why I've become so passionate about being a voice in this space. As a mom of multiple children with an FASD, I live with it every day. You probably do too if you're a foster or adoptive parent. We must be fierce advocates for our kids. We must be the trailblazers in the FASD field. And to do so, we must be educated. Do your research. Listen to those other podcasts I mentioned. Search the internet and tell everyone you know, your family members who are interacting with your kids, your kid's school teacher. Just because your child may have an IEP doesn't mean that every year the teacher that they get or the classroom aides or anybody else that is working directly with your child, it doesn't mean they're an expert on FASD. It doesn't mean that they even really understand it, and they need to. It is important. But be aware, your child's doctor, therapist, or even special education teacher probably does not know that much about FASD as you do or you will. So as parents, we must educate them in order to secure better outcomes for our kids. And that leads me to FASD fact number 20. An FASD-informed professional approach, quote, recognizes that to achieve positive outcomes, it is the system, program, or service providers who need to make modifications rather than the person with FASD. So in other words, it's not our kids that have to change it up and get with the program, so to speak. The program has to get with our kid. So this includes programming and support that A, is aware and informed about FASD, B, makes person-centered accommodations, and C, is strengths-based. So individuals with an FASD, they don't fit into a particular mold. We, as their caregivers, must advocate for our kids, even to the point of breaking those molds. This is imperative because FASD is typically an invisible disorder. You can't necessarily see it. Our kids can look completely normal, but there's certain things, right, that you can't just look and see. Like, for example, if a child enters a classroom in a wheelchair, everyone in the room can see that some accommodations will be necessary. Desks may need to be positioned a certain way, larger spaces between desks. The child won't be expected to take the stairs to their next class, right? Accommodations are made for that child so that child can be successful and get what they need. But a child with an FASD might have a harder time sitting still in class, or the lighting in the room may overstimulate them, or being on a Chromebook or an iPad all day for remote learning or in-classroom learning may overstimulate a child. Just a little point there to the whole COVID kind of modifications that have been coming through this new school year that have not worked well with some of our kids. Or they may need a weighted vest or a fidget to focus on. One of my sons benefits from something as simple as chewing minty gum. But gum chewing is something that's not usually permitted in a typical classroom. But fidgets, weighted items, gum, and extra PE time are all accommodations my child needs in order to be successful. Now, one of my kids also needs to know they have access to snacks throughout the day. And that may be more because of a trauma in his past, but I advocated and made sure that added to his IEP is the fact that he needs to have access to snacks throughout the day. So if he felt the need for a granola bar or a sip of water, he could get it out of his backpack at any point during classroom time, even if it's not lunch or snack time. If he needs it, he needs it. And really, oftentimes, he didn't even access it. He just needed to know that it was in his backpack and that he could. But that's an accommodation. We, as caregivers of foster and adoptive children with a diagnosed or suspected FASD, we need to know what accommodations our kids need, and we must advocate for them. It's that if that's what they need to be successful, that's what we fight for. So, okay, that's our two FASD facts for today. I'm going to share two more next week along with our Advent topic of joy. And I'll post links, like I mentioned, to all of these resources on the episode that we were on today, on this episode today, on the show notes and the blog post for this show. I also want to mention something coming up in January. Positive Adoption, a 15-minute coffee break podcast with Kathleen Guire. I'm going to get to be a guest on Kathleen's podcast. So she was a guest on this podcast, episode number 244. And I'm going to be collaborating with Kathleen on her podcast, Positive Adoption. And several episodes we are doing together. Her episodes are only 15 minutes long. So we did a bunch focused on five things every adoptive and foster parent should know. So you can start looking for that on Positive Adoption in January. So I want to thank you for joining me. And if you stayed all the way to the end of episode 250, thank you. Thank you. I'm thrilled to have you along for this journey through the Advent season. I'm looking forward to next week's show, and we're going to talk joy, something we all need to experience during this crazy COVID holiday season. Please know I am praying for you. I regularly lift up our podcast listeners in prayer and pray for foster and adoptive families. So please know that you are covered in prayer. If you were inspired by today's show, please subscribe and leave a review if you can figure out how to leave a review, because I've discovered that it's not as easy as I thought to leave a review. But if you can figure it out, please go ahead and do it. And please share it with your foster and adoptive parent friends and on your social media. I really appreciate that. And of course, let me know how you were encouraged by listening. I love hearing from you. One of my favorite emails to open are folks who've been listening to the podcast. So contact me at justicefororphansny.org or email me at sandraflack@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. I'll be looking for you. And check out our website and our social media to learn more about our nonprofit, Justice for Orphans. And stay tuned to this podcast and our social media for news about the release of my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It is coming. It's almost back in the hands of the publisher. I cannot wait to be able to make some big announcements in January. So thanks for listening, and I look forward with being with you next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.